SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun. All right, we got a full house here this evening. We got a lot of stuff to unpack. Steve Merrill will step up and in and kick it with us. We've got the return of Brent Beard. We're talking college football with Brent Beard. We're talking NBA basketball with Merrill. We're talking Preakness with Meadowlands at Lindsay. As I stated, we've got a full house. We might even open up the pipelines a little bit later on. We've got live NHL action going on right now. And I don't know, man. I guess, like, for those of you that are complaining that this game started too late, that I guess you don't really ever listen to this show or watch this show, do you? Like seriously. Like, you know, like, people always complain and want, like, they always, like, complain about how things were better before. Well, I'll tell you what. When Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier were playing against Theo Fleury and Doug Gilmore and in the Battle of Alberta's in the 80s into the 90s, they didn't start the game at 7 o'clock Eastern time. They started it late, right? It is what it is, man. Like, you know, like the people on the East Coast, like, think they literally, and I know. I've lived on the East Coast. I lived on the East Coast, like, for, you know, a long time. I'm originally from the East Coast. And trust me, people on the East Coast think the world revolves around them. Why would you start this game at 10:30? Well, because it's 7:30, and you know what I mean? It's 7:30. Like, you know, people are complaining on the East Coast. What, you want people in Calgary to start the game earlier for you, you jackasses? Self-centered jackasses. Oh, it's too late. Oh, you expect me to stay up? What are you, seriously? My freaking grandmother, may she rest in peace, she used to stay up till like 1:30, 2 in the morning. Used to upset me because I'd want to watch wrestling and light one up and smoke a bowl. I was like, man, does this lady ever go to sleep? I think that's where I got it from, really. I'm not even kidding. I was like, man, for an older lady, man, this woman, like, she doesn't sleep like I remember. I remember it being like 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and she was still up. I'm thinking, you know, man, aren't old ladies supposed to go to bed early? No, old people go to bed late and they wake up early. That's what old people do. I guess that's me. I'm already old. All right, so it's 3-2 right now. We got live hockey going on here right now, and that's a good thing, right? And not only do we have live hockey, it's, man, this game, like, we're only midway through the second period of play. We've already hit that that alt line 4.5 play that we gave on game time decisions. Now we've got an in-game over. What do I got? I got an in-game over 8.5 here, and I've got a bunch of money on the Flames to win. Actually, I'm surprised I don't actually have more action on this game, but it was a nice night because we crushed the over the NBA game. All right, for those of you that pay attention, you know, we said time and time again, yeah, we love the over. We're going to smash the over of game two. They have to shoot the ball better. They did shoot the ball better. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Friday Night Free Show has begun. SiriusXM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We've got a full house here this evening. Steve Merrill will bat lead off. We'll talk NBA playoff basketball as the Golden State Warriors were down big early in this basketball game, but they rallied back. They stormed back. 126-117 was the final score. Another true definition of, we let them off the hook, as the Dallas Mavericks let them off the hook. The Dallas Mavericks, these guys were up 72-58 at the half. 72-58. They completely fell apart in the third quarter. They only scored 13 points, 126-117. Steph Curry tonight went off from three, six of 10 from three. The prop was 3.5. We gave that on Game Time Decisions. We crushed the over, but we did lose with the Dallas Mavericks plus the points, although we did go much bigger on the over. Now, speaking of overs, the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames are doing their thing right now. It's 3-2 midway through the second period of play. The track meet is officially on. We've had a couple of goals that have been called back. As well, there could have been more. And Mike Smith just had another little incident in which he tried to play the puck, and it didn't end well, but it didn't end up in the net. All right, we got the Preakness. Rich Strike. Rich Strike went off at 80-1 to win the Kentucky Derby. He won the Kentucky Derby. And if you're wondering how come he's not in the Preakness, he's not injured. And you know, we'll get into this, but I believe that they know sort of that it was sort of like lightning in a bottle, one of those one in a million shots that this horse actually won that race. And it's not a good look if you show up to the Preakness and you finish in last place. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to get big money right now for quite frankly, for sex. Money for sex. it's all about sire fees right now. Sire fees don't look so good. It's one of those deals, like if you pull off the upset of the century, you never run again. Like I'm dead serious. If I'm them, I'm never running this horse again. It's like basically, listen, you want to buy a baby from this horse or not? All right, Meadowlands Lindsay's going to step up and then Tony Finn from Vegas, Steve Merrill, Brent Beard, down south, football's back. Let's do this thing. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Sirius XM, channel 159. Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. There's a lot of stuff to get to. I believe we've got Steve Merrill checking in right now. Let me know when Steve is ready to go. We got Steve Merrill, we got Tony Finn, we got Brent Beard, we got Meadowlands Lindsay. We're going to talk about the Preakness. I'm going to throw some NASCAR at Merrill. It's Formula One. I know Steve's got a six-pack of Formula One picks, top five podium finishes. Steve's got a full package of MLS picks as well. And we actually, all kidding aside, we do have some World Cup news. And I think what did they say, June 16th? June 16th, they're announcing the locations of the World Cup in 2026, in which, you know, we already know basically a bunch of locations, but they're going to finalize the United States locations. So a lot of cities that have bidded for the games and stuff, we pretty much know, though. Oh, so breakaway for the Oilers, but Markstrom with the big save. I think the final is going to be at SoFi in Los Angeles. One of the semifinals will be at MetLife in New York, New Jersey. I imagine one of the other semifinals would probably be in Los Angeles as well, maybe at the Rose Bowl or something like that. LA is going to be, there's going to be games in two venues in Los Angeles, Rose Bowl and SoFi Stadium. We know Canada is going to be Vancouver, Toronto, and Edmonton. And the three Mexican cities are pretty much known. It's like Mexico City, Guadalajara, and there's another one. We'll get to this later. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. It's NASCAR All-Star Week, too, this weekend. What's going on, Steve? Wager Talk. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Gabe. Doing well.
So, Steve, let's start off Actually, we'll get to the NBA after. Let's start off with the NASCAR All-Star Race. You and I haven't talked much NASCAR. We have in past years. We haven't. I've got F1 fever. I'm a sellout. I've got F1 fever, but I've always been an F1 fan. But I look forward to the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend. But All-Star Games, to some, I like All-Star Games. But I'm also aware that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game rocks. The NBA All-Star Game is a lot of fun. The NHL All-Star Game should be canceled because it sucks so hard. And the Pro Bowl pretty much has been canceled and turned into a video game or something. And I don't even know. No one cares. So, but NASCAR, it's a little different. I find it funny, Steve, because these other sports say, well, you know, it's an All-Star Game and you can't, we're not really going to hit each other. It's not, you know what I mean? Yet NASCAR guys will risk their freaking life, right? Like in an All-Star race, and do it more recklessly than they will in a regular race. And I've been reading all the drivers to a man have all said, oh, yeah, I love this race. He goes, what's not to love? You get $1 million if you win, and you don't have to worry about doing something crazy because you don't lose points in the championships, right? So all these drivers, dude, and you know the story, just for Merrill knows, but for people tuning in, guys, the Busch brothers, Kyle took Kurt out. Kurt was about to win the All-Star race a couple of years ago. And his brother took him out, man, trying to get the $1 million. And they didn't talk for over a year. I guess their grandmother had to, like, intervene and say, this is ridiculous. You need, like, it can't go on like this. You guys need to start talking again. That's what I love about this, Steve. And I love that every driver, too, doesn't even hide it and say, well, no, it's the competition. They all say, no, man, I want the $1 million. They all want the money.
You always wonder how much of the $1 million goes to the driver versus the crew versus the owner. You know, I've always
wondered. It's a split job. It's a split job. Right. Yeah. It's like horse racing, Steve.
Percentage of it, probably.
Yeah, no, it was a horse. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they have a contract plus bonuses, etc. You know, if they win and this and that. But it's a good point. It's sort of like it's like a golfer. You know what I mean? A caddy gets 10% or whatever. You know what I mean? And, like, horse race. Steve, I owned a horse, Steve. It's brutal, bro. Everyone's got their hand out, bro, after. Like, you've got to give.
You could have claimed the Derby winner for $30,000 last September, Gabe.
Yeah, I'm aware.
You know, I was thinking about that, though. Everyone's like, oh, 30 grand. But you know this better than most. I mean, can you imagine the additional expenses to stable it, to train it, to fly it? I mean, like hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean,
not to mention it's like
so misleading.
Yeah, right.
Like an 80-to-1 shot on top of that.
Yeah, they said, oh, the 30. Yeah. Like they walked in off the street. It's like a bet, Steve. You know how many other horses they lost money on in their barn? They have like all these. They're like, yeah, this horse got lucky. And it's funny you bring it up, Steve, because I brought it up off the top. He's not running in the Preakness, right, tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, but he's not injured. So you figure, well, why wouldn't you run him? Well, you know why? They freaking know he's not that good, and he got lucky. And I was saying earlier, like, I'm dead serious. Like, why run ever again almost? The legend is set. Like, you can't, this horse can't do anything better than it's already done, Steve. And the price, to quite frankly, just cut to the gist, for its sperm, you know what I'm saying? Like basically, because that's what it's all about, right? Because winning the race isn't the money, Steve. You know what I mean? You get $1 million for winning the Kentucky Derby. Good. And how much, like you just said, good for you. It cost me $38,000 just to fly this horse here, right? Or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Everything costs money for this. Where the money is, Steve, is now that the Derby won, we can sire it. Right? You know what I mean? Hey, the stud fees, right? And listen, this horse won the Kentucky Derby. You want it in your bloodline, right? And that's where the money comes from. But the money will go down because it's not like this horse was some dominant horse before. So let's just say Steve finishes in last place tomorrow. And then people are going to be like, ah, the horse kind of got lucky. We don't want to pay big money. You know what I mean? The stud fee's not worth it. The horse got lucky one day. At least now the legend is sort of protected. I think they did a smart move, actually, Steve.
Yeah, they'd said after the race a couple weeks ago that they were not planning on running the Preakness, and it was interesting because the owners said we'll have to reconsider that now. You know, so it is interesting, Gabe, that they're still not running in the Preakness. But of course,
Steve, you got a chance at the Triple Crown, bro. You got a chance at the bonus and stuff. They would have done it if they come on, Steve. You know what I mean? You're talking about, like, yeah.
Well, that's what they said. They weren't going to do it. We're going to have to reconsider. So I assume they're going to be in. So I'm actually surprised they're not running. But if you look at it from a handicapping perspective, it's the shortest race. The horse came out of nowhere to win, you know, at the wire. The Belmont's the longest race. So I guess, you know, obviously it's not a quick starter, so it would make more sense.
Well, that's another thing. I think they know that the horse also doesn't, and a four-minute power play coming up for Edmonton with 6:57 remaining. I think they also know, Steve, the horse doesn't have a chance of winning the Triple Crown. I'm telling you. Sure. Like, otherwise, bro, like, dude, it's a $5 million bonus, Steve, to win now, the other two. Not to mention the purses that come along with his stuff and the stud fees that if they won again. They don't believe the horse could win the Kentucky Derby. So why expose him? And from a handicapping standpoint, Epicenter, who would have won the damn race if not for Rich Strike, he's in the race tomorrow. All right, so he's in the race. There's only three horses, Steve, that were in the they're in the Derby that are running here. And there's one horse to keep your eye on, guys. Early voting, like, people don't like this, but I guess early voting, this is a really good horse, Steve, that skipped the Derby looking to knock off everybody in the Preakness. You know what I mean? Like, knowing that, all right, people are going to be, because it's the horses do get worn out. So this is a fresh horse coming in here. Like, and a lot of times people will say, listen, when you get to the Preakness, if the horse wasn't in the Derby, he obviously wasn't a top horse. Like, you know what I mean? Or otherwise, he would have been in the damn Kentucky Derby trying to get the Triple Crown, because that's where all the money is, winning the Triple Crown. But this horse actually is good. And people were surprised that they didn't run this horse early voting in the Derby. And this horse is, like, ready to bring it. So I'm telling you, Epicenter, early voting, there's your exacta. Meadowlands Lindsay will join us from the track after. We'll get into the basketball with Merrill on the other side. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Bull. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
One of the most appropriate and best rants ever. It's like fitting on a nightly basis. Dallas Mavericks let the Warriors off the hook. Calgary Flames, man. That's all these guys do is let the Edmonton Oilers off the hook. Constant double, you know, two goal plus leads blown. Edmonton just score at will when they have to. And we're off and running right now. It's 3-3, so the over is just hit. The total was 6.5. We discussed how the hell did they make it 6.5. I think Edmonton are going to score right now. Like, they're about to score. Nope, they didn't, but it's coming. They made the total 6.5, and they scored 15 goals in game one. It was the most goals scored in an NHL playoff game since 1993. They made it 6.5, and here we are. It's 3-3 right now. Somebody's got to, you know what I mean? It's a playoff game. Someone's got to win, so it's already gone over the number. We've got an in-game over 8.5 right now. Steve Merrill, wager talk with us. We'll get into the NASCAR, basketball, and everything else in between. But, Steve, it's fascinating. NHL playoffs, we're to the second round right now, Steve. And I'm sure you heard some of your colleagues at Wager Talk about the first round a bit. And the first round, it was like an over machine, man. It was literally like 30-8 or something. Like, it, I don't know. I lost track when it was like 28-7 to the over. Like, it was like an over, like, palooza, bro, in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Second round, Steve, they come out with sevens, which is high for hockey. You know, normally it's 5.5 or 6 or 6.5. So they were coming out with sevens. So as of right now, Steve, we are now 6-1 to the under through seven games in the second round. The style is really tightened up. It's tightened up, and we're 6-1 to the under. And the only games that we've gone over, Steve, are this series that's playing right now, Edmonton and Calgary, Battle of Alberta. every other game and every other series has gone under the number, Steve. So it's going to be, this game just went over. So it's going to be 6-2 through eight games. But one series is the only one that's gone over, man. And we got 6.5. We got a 6.5 tomorrow night, guys, with St. Louis. And Colorado, I like the under 6.5. I'm going to go under 6.5 on Sunday with Tampa as well. So a little hockey trends there for you, Merrill.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we saw the same thing in baseball this year with, you know, about 60% under the first few weeks, then 57, then 54. You know, they started to talk about all the low-scoring games. The line started to get bumped down a little bit, and it's similar to hockey. You know, you still get the low price range, so every half point, half run makes a big difference on those over-unders. And unlike basketball, in which maybe they can't correct fast enough, you know, when you talk about 200 and some points being scored, in hockey or baseball, you know, especially in hockey, every point is basically 20% of the total almost. So it makes a big difference when they start adjusting like that.
All right, Steve. So what about this NASCAR race? As I stated earlier, I like it. These guys go all in for it. They want to win $1 million. Normally, it was always in Charlotte, but it's in Texas this year. Kyle Larson is 6-1. Chase Elliott is 7-1. Kyle Busch is 7-1. Chastain, 850. Byron, 9. Reddick, 12. Truex, 12. Hamlin, 12. Blaney, 12. Bowman, 14. Christopher Bell, 14. Logano, 18. Kurt Busch, 25-1. I can't bet on everybody, Steve, so I'm just going to roll the dice on the Busch brothers, bro. I'm going to take Kyle Busch at 7-1. And Kurt Busch, an all-star winner before, at 25-1, I've got to be interested in.
Yeah, and don't forget they were at Kansas last week, and he won. It was the first race win for that new team, the Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin team, which is, of course, Bubba Wallace last year, but they brought over Kurt Busch this year. Yeah, and he was fast. He was fast in practice last week. He was fast.
It's Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's one of the owners of that, too, isn't he? Is he an investor
or
something?
Yeah, it's the Jordan Hamlin team. And, you know, Bubba was on there last year, but now Kurt Busch is a past Cup champion back a couple decades ago. So he brings a real chance to win. And his car was fast. And Kyle Busch, who you mentioned, has been very fast for weeks. You know, Gibbs Racing has not been as strong this year as in years past with this new car. Truex Jr. hasn't been as good. Denny Hamlin only has one top 10 all season going into last week, and that was his win at Richmond, which is a little bit of a misleading win. Hamlin has been off this year, but Kyle Busch has been fast with that team. And, yeah, it's not Charlotte anymore. Charlotte, of course, is an intermediate mile and a half. They're at Texas, another mile and a half cookie cutter. So different track but similar setup. And it should be very similar to what we saw in Kansas last week. You know, it's an all-star race, so it's a little tough to handicap in that regard, but it's still a very handicappable type of track. And as far as the format, they're not doing the inversion, Gabe, like we often talk about, but I like what they're doing. They've got four stages, and the winner of stages 1, 2, and 3 will start in the top three on the fourth stage, the deciding stage, and the other spot in the top four goes to the fastest pit stop after stage 3. So it's kind of a cool concept.
Isn't there a fan vote, too? Is there a fan vote for something?
Usually what that is for is the All-Star Open is the race beforehand on Sunday for the people that didn't qualify for the big race.
So they give them a chance to get in. That's it.
One or two gets in, and then the fan vote gets in. And I haven't looked at that lineup yet because, you know, you normally don't know who's going to be in until a few hours before. So from a handicapping standpoint right now, we kind of have to look at the big-game guys that we know are in the big race.
Hey, but another thing is, too, Steve, what I like about this from an all-star perspective, it's the best of the best, Steve, right? You have to have won a race in the last 2 years to be invited. You have to be there's requisites. You either won an all-star race before. If you won an all-star race, you're invited back for life. You've won a race in the last 2 years on the circuit. In the last 2 years, you've won a race. Or if you're a former champion. If you've, you know, you won the season, you're a season champion, Steve. So you get the best of the best, right? So that's another thing that I like. You know, all these drivers, there's no riffraff on the course.
Right, and that all-star race, by the way, the Open, there's three stages. The stage winner of each stage gets in and the fan vote. What I don't know is if one of the fan vote is the stage winner. I don't know if a fourth gets in or could it just be three. But there'll be at least three people that invert their way in. And looking at the All-Star Open, you know, try to predict who maybe that fan vote would be. You know, obviously the big-name guys are kind of already in the race. It looks like Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick, Chris Buescher, Ty Gill and Eric Jones. Those are kind of the, and Daniel Suarez, he might have a chance to get in the fan vote. Those are the kind of the five I think would probably be the most likely. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., those are the six big names that might get in the main race.
So, Steve, we let him off the hook, the Mavericks. I loaded up on the over. I really like the over of this game tonight. And I hung my hat on the fact that they just shot the ball so poorly in game one. And I also brought up the fact that even though Golden State scored 112 points and they had six scores in double digits in game one of the series, Steve, they didn't shoot the ball that well by their standards. And I repeated it throughout the week. I said Steph Curry was 3 for 9 from three. I hit his prop tonight over 3.5 threes because I knew he was going to be better than he was, and he was 6 for 10 tonight. So at one point, Steve, the total got to 236.5. That's what I saw in game. And then it got dangerously low again. Like it fell all the way to like 220.5 or so. And I had the over, and I was sweating it out a little bit. I also had a smaller play on Dallas. Dallas let it get away from them. What was your take on the game tonight, Steve?
I was with you. I liked the over a ton. I liked it in game one. I liked it even better tonight in game two.
Yeah,
the fact that game one didn't go over. I liked Dallas tonight also. And I'll tell you what, Gabe, I didn't put it down with a permanent marker, but I pretty much mentally chalked up a 2-0 sweep at halftime. And I don't do that too often.
Really? Oh, you knew? You're like, oh, boy. Really? Really?
Well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily that Golden State couldn't come back to win, but I thought the +6 in my pocket was pretty safe. And to put it in perspective, Dallas had won 25 straight games when leading by 10 or more going into tonight. Not just covering, won outright 25 straight times. They had a 19-point lead tonight. I didn't even cover as a 6-point dog. So that was pretty painful.
It was painful when we saw it happening too, Steve, right? You just knew there was no turning back once it started. I sort of knew.
Yeah, they were up by like 5 early fourth quarter. When Golden State had already cut the deficit and were up by 5, I'm like, this isn't looking good.
Dude, they scored 11 points.
Right. Well, I mentioned this today on wagertalk.com. Curry, in the game one, he had more rebounds than he had three-pointers made, free throws made, and assists.
All three
combined, he had more rebounds.
I love the over.
So you knew he was due for a bounce back, right?
So they set 218.5. So, Steve, we got about 2.5, about 3 minutes or so with you. I don't know. Teddy was on. One of your boys, Teddy, my guy, Teddy. Last night, he loves Boston, man. This guy should get a Boston tattoo. Boston's great, best team in the NBA. Boston, 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 Boston. Statistical profile. So the Celtics are laying 6.5, but we're gonna get a desperate Heat team here, Steve. What's your take on this? Like, I gotta take the points. Like, the situation is the Heat, isn't it? Sort of like it was supposed to be Dallas tonight, but what, you know, you and I talk about the zigzag and the bounce back. What's your take on this?
Yeah, the problem is the modified zigzag works. So like we talked about, Gabe, you want the preferred play on team. And I thought Dallas could hang with Golden State, so I'd like to get them off the loss tonight. The problem for me tomorrow is that, yes, the bounce back spot favors Miami off the blowout and the adjusted line value. The problem is Boston is still my preferred side in this series. So where I really liked them was in game two a couple nights ago. That was a great bounce back. You know, when you and I were doing the show on Tuesday, the line had just come out at FanDuel. It was +5. Now Miami is +6.5. That's an 11.5-point swing in just one game. These two teams have played 190 games combined this season. We're talking about an 11-point swing. Now, I know it closed 1.5, but still, it just shows how all over the place these lines have been.
You and I talked about it. It's very comparable to the Milwaukee series, right, where the games are near pick-ems on the road, and then they go back, but it's even higher here. Both Miami games have sailed over, Steve, 30 seconds. What about the total, 207.5 here now?
First thing that jumps out to me, Gabe, is that the first half line is around 107. The game is around 207.5. So they're saying the second half is like 7 points lower score. I thought that was a little strange. The odds makers are saying the first half, these teams should come out gunning.
Normally that happens in blowouts. Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com. With us, Steve, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks.
Thanks, Gabe.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. Well, what are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Late Night Anger Management Class, a little WKRP in Cincinnati there. Sparky's bullpen. Has Meadowlands Lindsay checked in yet? Keep me posted. All right. Meadowlands Lindsay. You know what? He got bumped today from the TV show, too. He got bumped. It happens. It happens to the best of us. Well, he got bumped, but he had some internet issues or whatnot. So we said, all right, we'll get you on the radio show tonight, because we met Meadowlands Lindsay at the Meadowlands. Right, we used to like invite people on, right? So we used to do the show from the racetrack. We were like, it was the FanDuel Sportsbook, but we were doing it from where they did the like all the New York Jersey racing. So I actually was sitting with all the race, all the horse nut jobs, bro. Like, so you had the FanDuel Sportsbook, but the sportsbook was on both sides of me, and I'm in the middle. And in the middle, the way it was there. On one side, there was like a sort of in and out, if you want to, like basically we called it, it was like a cell block. That's what we called it. So like one side was like, it was just the games on and there was a bar in there, but just sort of like a, you know, nondescript, it was just a bar. You want to get a drink and you can sit there, you know what I mean? What, just like a, not like a bar, but there was a bartender and you can order a beer and you can sit there, you can watch the games. They had a bunch of chairs and that was the cell block. That was hardcore. Like, people in Vegas think they know sports books and stuff. Now, you guys know, like, tourist sports books. You don't know, like, New York City sports book. It's different. So, like basically, man, don't make eye contact. Mind your own business. Don't talk to people. Like, it's like this. It's like being in jail there. So, like people would be like, I don't go on that side. Like, I used to talk to, like, the richer people sometime. And they'd be like, I've never been in that room over there. They'll be like, I've never gone into that room. And it wasn't that bad, but it could get, it was rough. You know what I mean? And then you had the other room wasn't much better. So you had the other room, FanDuel, which was nicer. So that's where they had the nicer restaurant. And there was like nice, there was like the VIP area and blah, blah, blah. Right? But in the middle, they have like the horse people. Right, so I'm sitting there. I did the show there for like 2 years, so I'm sitting there. So we got to know everybody, and the thing is, it's New York. Most people didn't want to be seen on camera, right? Like we'd have people walk past. Hey, Grant, love the show. Hey, what's up, Morency? But they didn't want to. Hey, you want to come on? Oh God, no, right? Various reasons why. Everyone, some of the stories they tell me why I can't come on the air because of this. Right? They tell me why. Like they all had some reason why they didn't want to be seen. And we, you know, but some people enjoyed it. And our boy Meadowlands Lindsay, this guy, Meadowlands Lindsay was like, he wanted to host the show. It's like, all right, I'll come on. I'll come on. And Meadowlands Lindsay used to always sit. I remember he always used to sit to my left. He was right there in the back. And he'd mind his own business for the most part. He talked to the regulars a bit. But I don't know. Then the pandemic hit and stuff, and we haven't been back. And it's crazy because I spent more time there than I did in my house, like ever, like literally and favorably. Like I literally spent like 16 hours a day at the Meadowlands racetrack and at MetLife Stadium. Let's bring in Meadowlands Lindsay right now. What's going on, Meadowlands Lindsay? How you doing?
This Gabe?
Yo, Meadowlands Lindsay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Meadowlands. Yes, we hear you, bro.
No, this isn't Lindsay. This is Rigatoni. I think I got patched in.
Oh, God. Come on, Matthias. What's going on here? Dear God. We had a long...
Call back.
Yeah.
I can call back. I'm sorry.
Hey, Matthias, what are you doing to me here? It's like, come on, man. So, all right, yeah. Sorry, Rigatoni out. Not, yeah, we're trying to break this right now. We'll get Rigatoni on now after. All right, do we have Lindsay here? Or what's going on here, Matthias? Come on. I'm in the wrong guy. Set up the big intro and everything. All right. Yeah. The next time, check the hell who you're putting on the air. I don't just want to talk to random people. Although, I get it. We had the guest booked. He called in. But You telling me you didn't talk to him first? God. Poor Rigatoni Al. God. Hey, man. It's too early for this. See, I'm trying to be positive and stuff. This reminds me of... we're going to have a talk. Seriously. Where's my pen? You know what? I haven't cared. I'm not a big pen and paper guy. But I need it now. There's a lot of people like on my list this week. Like, I got to take notes and stuff. Like, oh, yeah, this guy. Like, Evander Kane. I got to start taking notes. Like, oh, yeah, this guy. I didn't like what he said earlier in the week. I used to have a nightly list, and I'd write it down. People that are giving me trouble, right? And this is years ago, I was doing the Expos. You know, it was a long time ago. The Expos were in the league. I'm doing the Expos games. I'm doing a post-game show, and Brian Schneider, the catcher of the Expos, hit the game-winning home run. All right? I'll never forget. It was a Sunday afternoon game. He hit the game-winning home run. And I said, yeah, Brian Schneider just hit the game-winning home run. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes. And, you know, I'm upstairs. I'm in the press box. I'm where they do the game, actually. Right after the game was over, I'd do the show where they did the play-by-play. So I'm in the play-by-play booth, and I said, all right. I said, yeah, he's just taking a shower. He'll join us in about 10, 15 minutes. And one of our very, very slick fans decided to call in and patched him right through. And all he said is, yeah, I'm Brian Schneider. I'm supposed to be on the show. I introduce. I'm like, hey, Brian Schneider. I go through the exact same thing. I look like an idiot. I go through this big, long thing about Brian Schneider just hitting a home run, and I come on. Right away, I could tell it's like a caller. Like, it's not Brian Schneider. So I hung up on the dude, and I just said after we lost, Brian Schneider will reconnect, and we got the real Brian Schneider, and we got a good laugh out of it after. But, you know, Matthias, that was 20 years ago, and I think I was working with, always check who it is. That's the moral of the story, especially in today's day and age. Although, the thing is, listen, Matthias does a great job, but right on cue, somebody called in as I told him the guest was calling in. I did just tell him. I said, yeah, listen, he's calling in right now. Phone rings, boom. But that's why you can never assume anything. And poor Rigatoni Al. Now he's going to get lost. You know what? We'll get Al on in a second here. Otherwise, we might not even get to him. So I'm going to get Al on in a second. But, so what happened is, so Brian Schneider, so we get on. I was raging after. I told the operator, I said, what are you, an idiot? I said, what? Anybody calls in and says, hey, look, I'm Reggie Jackson. I'm going to put me on the air. I'm Kobe Bryant. Right? Like, I said, man, I said, did he call in on the private number? Right? And they said, no. I said, well, if they didn't call in on the private number, then don't, like, listen to them. So fast forward, you can't make this up. Fast forward to like a month later or something. The president of the Expos like really didn't like me. Like, I'm not just saying this. He did not like me. But the thing is, he didn't want to fire me because he didn't care, because he knew they were leaving for Washington and I wasn't going with them. So he didn't like me. But the thing is, it got hostile and stuff. Like, the Expos were moving, right, to Washington. So I told people on the air, I said, don't buy tickets from the box office. I said, because then you're just supporting Major League Baseball leaving, taking the team. I said, only buy tickets from scalpers on the street. But I said this on the official postgame show. So they weren't too happy, right? So stuff like that. He always had a briefcase and stuff, and I once mockingly said, you know what he has in the briefcase? I said, Hustler magazines. I was kidding. Yeah, I used to be a bigger shock jock, right? So one night, the Expos are playing in Puerto Rico, and this is a true story. They actually installed, this is like a long time ago, before you could hear everything everywhere. So they actually personally installed a radio so they could keep tabs of what I said about them, all right? And when they're in Puerto Rico after the games, because I didn't go to Puerto Rico with them, because they were cheap. All right, so they listened after, and I went off on some tirade about something. And the president calls in. All right, so the president calls in, except we just got played like a couple of weeks earlier by this Brian Schneider shenanigan. So I said, yeah, whatever. I said, oh, yeah, the president of the Expos. I said, oh, yeah, for Major League Baseball is on hold. And I said, yeah. I said, make him wait. So I told the operator. I looked. I said, yeah. I said, make him wait. And then about 15 minutes later, he tells me again. He goes in my earpiece. He goes, listen, bro. He goes, I think it's him, and he's really mad, man. He's, like, threatening to, like, fire everybody and stuff. Like, he goes, I really think it's him. So then I start. I tell him, ask him what his wife's name is. Ask him a bunch of questions and stuff. And so he goes, oh, okay. He goes, oh, okay. He's all scared, the operator kid. He asked the guy questions. He comes back. He goes, it really is him. I'm telling you, it's him. So it really was. So the guy already hated me, and I made, like, the president. This guy was big time. He was, like, the president of the Ducks. He was the president of the Angels and stuff. He was a big-time dude. And I made the guy wait on hold for, like, 35 minutes, man. And he came on. He was raging. Like, he was live on here. He goes, are we on the air? I'm like, thank God we're on the air. Because otherwise, I don't know what the hell he would have said to me. I was like, yeah. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, yeah, we're on. What's going on? He goes, wow. He goes, I just want to correct, like, a multitude of mistakes and things that you're not exactly correct. You know. He went off about, like, tickets and this and that and about Washington and this and that. It was like, well, it was gold. It was gold. We should have just kept Rigatoni Al on, though, and just said, all right, what's your horse picks? But I don't blame you, Matthias. Like I said, normally I'd be like, what kind of operation are we running here? But the timing of everything. The timing of everything, I get it. But in the future, always double check. Otherwise, like, Mick Ossie might break through, like, somehow sneak in. he's gonna break through and sneak in. Speaking of Mick, what's going on, Mick? We got Nick in Chicago. We got Mick in Edmonton. Nick in Chicago. I don't know where Johnny Cakes is. All I know is you complain a lot, Johnny Cakes. Johnny Cakes bitches about the Dodgers daily. I don't even think he's a Dodger fan. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mick Aussie. In our chat says, I like Matthias, but I don't like that he doesn't kick the floggers out in the chat that harass me. See, now you're getting called out by Mick in the chat. He says you're not. Now that's your own problem, Mick. I'm not going to blame Matthias for this. It's your own problem, Mick. Yeah, it's like a schoolyard, Mick. You go into the schoolyard, you start chirping and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want us to do? We're like the principal. I look over, I'm like, yeah, like, what do you want? What do you want? Stop, you know, like I said, anybody that steps into a chat, like, unless you're, you know, you can always tell, like, people that deserve it and don't deserve it, right? Like, people, you know, some people just stick to sports and mind their own business. Like our boy Lucas. Lucas in Syracuse. All right, we'll get to Rigatoni Allen level two here. We got to reset the stage after Matthias just ruined the show. Okay, I'm in a nicer mood than I normally am on Fridays. I don't like Fridays, so let's not start pushing things here. I'm not a fan. Most people, I swear to God, most people love Fridays. I don't. I used to hate Mondays too. I really did. I hated going to school, like, when I was a kid. I really did not like it. Like I don't know, like, how people felt about school, but, like, I really did not like it. I just stopped going. Like, I disliked it so much. I was like, yeah, you know what? I just won't go. And look where I am now. All right, so it's 3-3 right now in this hockey game. And I got to tell you, if you don't like this game, if you don't like this game, you don't like hockey. I've been watching hockey since like 1975. And this is as good as it gets. Like I said, this is like pretty much is pretty much as close to like replicating what this is like the Battle of Alberta from 31 years ago. It really is like stepping into a hot tub time machine. Oh, but it's on too late. Shut up, Willis.